Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To help us remember the point of the new covenant, I've been using the phrase, do the right things for the right reasons. In the last several programs, we covered doing four right things. Number one, accept by faith Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins. Number two, accept by faith Jesus' life for our righteousness. Number three, accept by faith Jesus' resurrection for our eternal life. And number four, accept by faith Jesus living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to write the law upon our hearts and minds. Today we'll cover the right reasons. But why did God give us the gifts of forgiveness of sins, righteousness, eternal life, and the law written on our hearts and minds? Why did God ask us to accept them by faith? Why doesn't God want us to work for these gifts? The answer is, God gave us these four gifts that we are to accept by faith without works because God wants us to concentrate on being like God. After all, in the beginning, Elohim said, "Let us, the God kind, make mankind in our image after our likeness." And what is God like? God is love. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and 16. This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and then verse 16. How did God say those who are like him would be recognized? "By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another." That's in John chapter 13, verse 35. The book of John, chapter 13, verse 35. So if God is in us, and God is love, then we must be love. This is the heart of the matter. God wants us to have a heart of love. This is the whole spirit of the law that we were talking about on the last program. This is the spirit that's behind the law, is love. Let me give you an example to bring this point home. My wife asked me to take out the garbage, but then I say, why should I do it? Well, maybe there are four possible reasons. Number one could be fear. I fear that she might yell at me, or worse yet, she might throw me out with the garbage. Another reason, maybe I want to get something. I say to myself, she'll cook dinner because I've been a good boy. That's why I'll take out the garbage. Or it could even be because I know it's the right thing to do. For example, I know that the house will smell and rats and roaches will start living with us if I don't throw out the garbage. But don't assume that everybody knows that. You should see some of these homes of bachelors. Looks like they never learned this principle. And then the fourth reason why I might do it is because of love. I just want her to be happy. I want her to feel good. I want her to be at peace. I want her to be healthy. So even if I don't think it's the right thing to do, I do it because I love her. Now, let's see these four things in Scripture. The first one is fear. And that's okay for starters, truthfully. But because it's not from the heart and it's not in the head, that's not the ultimate. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 26 through 39, this is Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 26 through 39, God warns us to straighten up and do right. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there is a fearful day of judgment. So God uses fear. He tells us, listen, you're going straight to the lake of fire if you don't straighten up and fly right. But God doesn't want us to stay there at fear, because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, this is 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, God says, "There is no fear in love, because fear has torment. He that fears can't love perfectly. But perfect love casts out fear." So ultimately, God wants us to get past fear and get to the point of love. What about this reason for doing the right things of get? Well, again, that's okay for starters, but since it's not from the heart and it's not in the head, then that's not the ultimate. And there's two examples I want to point out here. One is the rich man, and the other is about the disciples. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, this is in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, We have the example of the rich young man who was trying to get eternal life, and he asked Jesus what should he do to get eternal life. And Jesus told him to keep the commandments and to love his neighbor as himself. The rich man said, "Well, I've done all of these things," referring to keeping the commandments, "from my youth," he said. "What else do I lack?" And Jesus said, "Well, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." But the young man went away sorrowful after he heard that, because he had great possessions. In other words, he was trying to get eternal life, so he did the right things of keeping the commandments, but he didn't have a heart of love. And so therefore, that was not the ultimate. And now in Matthew 19, verses 27 through 29, this is just a little bit further down, in chapter 19, verses 27 through 29, this is the story of the disciples. The disciples, in hearing this conversation with the rich young man that Jesus just had, said to Jesus, "Now wait a minute, we have forsaken all and followed you, and we want to get something in return." So Jesus said, "Well, your reward is that you shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that has forsaken possessions or family for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." So Jesus dealt with them on this principle of get, but he didn't want them to stay there. And what happened? Jesus said, "Everyone that has forsaken possessions or family shall inherit everlasting life." But what happened? The disciples forsook Jesus. Yeah, they forsook their possessions, but then temporarily, at least, before they were converted, they also forsook Jesus. So they didn't have this heart of love to obey Jesus, no matter what was the situation. They were in it, really, just to get at first. Thankfully, they grew past that. Now, what about the right thing? Again, it's okay for starters. At least in this case, it's in the head, because a person knows that they should be doing the right things, and we talked about what the right things are, for the right reason. And in a person's mind, the right reason might be because it's the right thing. So that's okay, because at least it's in the person's head, but it's still not in a person's heart necessarily, and it's usually because it's all about being right. And we see this with Job, and even with Paul before he was converted, when his name was Saul. Let's read about the example of Job in chapter 1, and verse 1 and verse 8. "Job was perfect and upright, and feared God, and avoided evil. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?'" And now, drop down to chapter 31, and we'll read verses 16 through 22. "If I have withheld," and this is Job speaking, "if I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless has not eaten the same, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, and if he were not warm with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone." Oh, Job was pretty confident that he had done the right things, and he had. Now, in chapter 32, verses 1 through 2, this is after the three so-called friends of Job had been accusing him of different things, and it says, "These three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But then was kindled the wrath of Elihu." This is the fourth person in the picture. "And it was kindled against Job." Why? Because he justified himself rather than God. And then God even stepped into the picture in chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. And it says, "The Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it.' Once," and then Job responds, "once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord said to Job, 'Will you condemn me that you may be righteous?'" Isn't that audacious for Job to actually condemn God for allowing him to suffer, thinking that he had never done anything wrong, and therefore it was unjust for God to allow something terrible to happen to him? That's what really was going on. So Job said, "Well, Lord, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will shut up. I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Because once God pointed out that he was indeed much greater than Job, Job saw how vile he really was. But at first it was just about Job. It was just about doing the right thing. And then in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 4, we have the example of Paul. Paul boasted, "If any man thinks that he can trust in the flesh, I could do so even more. I was circumcised the 8th day. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. As touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless." But thankfully, Paul came to the point where he also realized that all of that stuff was nothing but dung. But at first, he was doing the right thing just because it was the right thing. Not necessarily to get anything, just because he thought it was the right thing. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, we see something that's pretty astonishing. It says, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I do not have love, it profits nothing." Now that's quite a statement. I mean, somebody would give their body to be burned, but they still don't do it out of love. Well, why would they do it? Perhaps it is to get, but perhaps it's not to get. Perhaps it's because of fear. Maybe it's not because of fear. Maybe it's just because they think it's the right thing to do. It's all about them and doing the right thing. But they can do it without having the right reason, which is a heart of love. So what about love? Because in 1 Corinthians 13, of course, you know it goes on to say that love is the greatest. Out of love, hope, and faith, love is the greatest. So Job and Paul were doing without loving. But now we see about love. Love is the best because it's all about God. Even when I don't want to necessarily do the right thing, maybe I don't understand that it is the right thing, but I still do it because I love God and I want God to be happy. In 1 John 5, verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Then in John 15, verses 9 through 10, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Do not owe any man anything except to love one another, for he that loves one another has fulfilled the law. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And now for the final scripture that wraps up all of the programs we've been doing on the Old and New Covenants, let's turn over to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and we'll read verses 8 through 10. "By grace are you saved through faith. You don't earn it. It is the gift of God, not of your works, lest you should boast." So the first thing is faith. Accepting God's gracious gifts by faith. That's the right thing that we should be doing. And now in verse 10 it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the works come second. We're doing something for the right reason, and that right reason is because we love God and we love our fellow man as ourselves. So my friends, please, let us love, for God is love. Thanks for joining me on this program. May God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.